I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, we are doing a few updates here with our alumni who we love dearly. And we hope all of you guys are staying healthy, safe, and staying at home during this quarantine, and hope you enjoy listening to a few of our previous guests telling you what's been going on in their life since they did their interview. Here are some updates for the quarantine versions of And the Writer Is. Hello, Jason Evigan. You are back.
Last minute. This is I've never done a podcast within 20 minutes of asking to be on it. That was pretty.
Well, you know.
Well, actually, you hit me this morning at 10 a.m., but I was sleeping. So, but.
I can't sleep that late.
I know, but you also probably weren't up till 5 making music, so.
Oh, what were you doing at 5?
I was finishing this Charlotte Lawrence song and working on some Stephen Puth stuff. Just, you know, I'm a late night guy.
Are you, do you find that this time is allowing you to just finish stuff and focus?
Yeah, it's wild. The cool thing about it is because for like the past 8 years, I've just lived and died by my calendar. When you like even when someone's like, hey, you want to get together? I like have an anxiety attack. I'm like, hit Nicole. She'll schedule us in. So now it's like, I have nothing on the calendar. So I'm literally going in and making music like I used to when I wanted. I'm just like, oh, I feel inspired. I'm going to go work on something. So it's been like a crazy inspiring time for me, actually.
So since the last time you were on this.
Things have changed for many years.
What was that?
Things have really changed for And the Writer Is.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
I mean, kind of look, it's been probably 3-4 years since you did your interview.
Okay. Maybe longer.
Yeah, sure. But whatever it is, long enough that it's like, it's kind of bananas, man. You've had like a couple of just massive songs in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And yet you're still taking time to be creative and still be a human. I feel like of all the people that I've ever interviewed, I don't know if there's anybody else who compartmentalizes or cherishes their non-music time as much as you do.
Oh, wow.
Not because you do all the traveling and all the other stuff. How does having, you know, girls like you and, you know, like how does having these kinds of huge records, you know, how do you deal with the mental game of big songs coming back, hitting hard, you know, you're back in like the number one spot and like breaking records kind of hit, and then also trying to be a human in touch with the planet and a higher purpose and spirituality. How do you deal with all of this mental game? I feel like you seem to always have things figured out, and it just seems that there's so much has happened for you since we talked to you last.
Yeah. Well,
that's a terrible question.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Actually, it's a great question. No, it's a
real. How you deal with life with this kind of spiritual success and.
Well, here's for me. It's actually really interesting because right before Girls Like You and What Lovers Do and that little section of like, you know, like time when like a bunch of songs came out that were really successful. Like a couple months before that, I was kind of coming to the terms. I was like, you know what? All right. All my songs I'm getting, they're kind of like album, you know, just album songs, and I'm not really having any hits right now. It was maybe a year or two that I didn't have any songs on the radio or that were doing well. And I kind of just came to the terms with, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, all right, I'm okay with just being like, I'm not going to make hits anymore. It's fine. I don't have what it takes, I guess. I really thought that. And I kind of actually, no joke, kind of came to the terms with that. And right when I came to the terms of that, I got in this super creative zone because I stopped caring about like trying to make the hit. And I just went deep into like just making music for fun and realizing, cool, I can make a living off just productions and that kind of stuff. And right when that happened was when those songs, like the songs happened, and I made those songs and they happened. And then since then, it's, you know, I'm almost feeling like I'm back in that same place right now. You know, I have a song.
Really?
Yeah, it's like interesting. You have this physical song that Dua Lipa, like they just said they're not going to US radio with it. So I'm in the same kind of thing. And then
why didn't you go to US radio with it?
It was all Don't Start Now. They didn't think it was doing as well, so they put out Physical. And then out of nowhere, Don't Start Now went to number one for like months, you know, so it stayed there. It's all good. It's just the way it works. But it's crazy when it comes to the spiritual stuff. I just realized that I don't function. Like there's months where I go out, like there's months where I go away. I'm just like, or I should go away from my spirituality. I'm just kind of so into the game and the work and the whole thing. And I just don't function right. My marriage falls apart. I fall apart. I'm not as good as a friend to my friends, my family. And I just realized like I've tried. I know what happens when I'm not connected to the source, to the creator. I realize my life just doesn't function well. So, you know, there's definitely times when I'm not, and I just see it. So it's like I have to put that as just as important as my work, or I'm not really functioning at my highest self, you know. If that makes
one
sense.
One of the things that's happened also is Elephant Heart.
Yeah.
It didn't exist then.
I thought.
And here you're trying, you know, the idea of when you feel connected and also being a good husband and all that stuff. What's it like to be in a band, a partnership with your spouse, creative speaking? How do you deal with all like that's fascinating to me. I mean, that's a new level of relationship.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is Victoria's never been like, she's never wanted to be famous. She's never wanted to make music for a living. That was never a part of her like makeup. You know what I mean? She was never like, so I definitely don't have to deal with that. Cause I know a lot of times when, you know, producers and they have a wife or a girlfriend who does music, it's a lot of that kind of like resentment. Like, you're working too much. Like, we should be like, you know, there's none of that. Her intention with Elephant Heart was strictly to put out music to help people and to unite people. And so the intention with Elephant Heart is very pure. So even when our marketing people are like, we need more content, more of this, it just doesn't, we really have to keep it organic or it doesn't work, you know? And it's been,
I mean, speaking of marketing, the fact that you guys do it for fun and then it becomes,
I know,
the damn AirPod commercials. What the hell is that, man? But that's like the licensing dream, yeah. You know, spot.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. It just kind of has been taken off. It's working, you know. But
what do you guys want from it? What do you like being back in a band? Do you want to do you want to go on tour?
If the right tour is there, yeah. Like we're doing like Lollapalooza. We had Lightning in a Bottle book. We have. And we've played some shows, and it's crazy. The cool thing is that when I was in a band, it was like, it was more kind of like, oh, like me on stage and like I'm this thing. And now it's this, it's really cool. Like there is like this uniting thing with our music and what we see at shows. And it's, so it just feels like it's less about us and it's really about the music and it's really about community. So it's refreshing.
What's it like to release music in the middle of a quarantine?
I know, right? it feels kind of the same because releasing music now is a weird thing. You're like, oh, it's out. Like this copy and this thing, this you know, this piece of which we are going to make some vinyl, I think. But it definitely it's a little anticlimactic, especially when the album's been done for like a year or two, and then. But we also we're making a quarantine EP right now, which is kind of cool. It's like these 6 minute long, like ambient, just flowy, relaxing, like recording just picks, like sounds and little clicks and all sorts of stuff. So really inspiring.
How do you make music for Charlotte Lawrence and Stephen Puth and for Elephant Heart? How do you do that? Like, how do you jump from one to the next? And then who is the time in the day to do that?
Yeah. I don't know how I do that. I feel like...
Are you fast?
Am I fast?
Yeah.
So people say I'm fast. I don't feel like I'm fast because I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. So I feel like I'm always just trying to figure it out as I get on there. But... yeah, the Elephant Heart stuff, it literally, when we feel it and we're inspired, we do it. The other stuff is kind of like you have to get in the studio and start, you have to kind of let the inspiration come. You like start working, you're like, oh, okay, then you crack the code. You know, like I was trying to crack the code in that Charlotte Lawrence song for like a few days and I couldn't, and then I finally cracked the code.
Is it good?
Yeah. I think it's really good. Yeah, it was Andrew Watt and Allie and...
Sure. Wait, hold on, go back. It got jumbly.
Andrew Watt, Allie, and Charlotte song, and then they asked me to produce it, so it was cool.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Do you like producing finished songs as much as you like writing them?
I didn't for a long time, but I've started to, like, I did one on Selena's album, and I'm starting to really like it. I didn't like it before because I'm kind of, like, as you know, I kind of like finish the production the day of. I kind of like get in a zone, and then when I try to come back, I'm like, oh, it's kind of hard for me. But I think I've worked past that, you know.
What's next for you?
What's next for me? I don't know. I mean, I'm signing, you know, like Gian's doing really well. So I have my first producer who's like, it's actually really happening. So that's a good feeling, accomplishment.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Gian was like basically my engineer, right hand guy, assistant, took care of and like everything. He basically lived here. And in the past, you know, and then he got on Girls Like You, which was really cool. He actually, he would do like my vocal tuning for me, and he come to sessions with me all the time. And we were in the room with SZA doing the What Lovers Do, and he was running the board, you know, running the computer, and Jay Cash was there, everything. And so SZA starts, we're having a great time hanging out. SZA gets in the booth, and then I start giving notes as she's recording, and she's like, oh, could you and Cash actually leave? I just want to work with the engineer. I was like, Gian's never done vocals alone without, this is, I was like, okay, so I left. I was like, God, I hope this works out. And he killed it. So then on Girls Like You, I was out of town and Adam hit me and he was like, hey, I want to redo the bridge. And I'm like, I'm out of town. I can't do it. He goes, oh, well, I have to get it done. So I told Gian, just go in and record him. And then Gian ended up writing the melody of the bridge with him in the room. So that's how he got in there. It was kind of a, and from that, he's been killing as a vocal producer. He's been doing that. And then got the Jonas Brothers song, and now he's got, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but he has a bunch of other really cool cuts coming out there. So it's all happening. And all right, and your writers are working with him. And
yeah.
Our kids are playing, you know.
It's like our children and nephews and nieces are all going to school together.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
How's it been for you, the quarantine? What's...
You know, no matter what, having this conversation means that right now both of us are healthy and our families are healthy enough that we're not in a hospital or near a hospital. So knock on wood that we're fortunate. That's kind of the first thing. And then, but that said, I feel like I'm taking time to also not do anything. I feel like I'm really busy all the time and always filling up space with work. And right now, I've made some choices where I'm actually just reading a book. Wow. Or I find it sometimes a little hard to be creative in this environment as well. It's like half you can really go all in, you know, but have you found it hard at all? Do you follow the news at all, or do you block out what's happening outside of the house?
No, I do my news check-in like once a day for about half hour. I get enough news sent to me every day, you know, the news is insane. It's obviously, it's so like, you know, you get the Democrat news, the Republican news, and it's just, I don't know. The news to me definitely is very distracting, and I feel like it really is. You know, if I watched Fox News in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were literally saying, oh, it's fine, it's all good. And all these old people died because of that, you know. So I don't know. News is not my thing. I definitely do keep up and check what's happening. But I also feel like, I was saying this a couple months ago. I was like, this sounds kind of morbid, but I feel like something big has to happen, like some kind of pandemic happen in the world, because especially in our country, because we're a new country, we haven't really experienced real hardship, and I feel like we're kind of living in this la-la land world a little bit, and I just felt like something big has to happen that's gonna, first of all, the whole world, it's crazy, we're all sort of, are you frozen or are you just looking
down? It just froze for a second right when you were saying the world. Why don't I call you right back and let's continue on. Is that okay?
Yeah, totally.
So we're going to start this next, going back to it. But this time we have Peter Pugman joining us.
I might have a Spurs joining me too. Not yet.
You were saying that, like, that, you know, a couple months ago you were feeling.
Yeah, I was like, I just feel like everything's moving so fast, right? The whole world, everything's just going and going and going and going. When it comes, even when it comes to climate and everything, the economy, individualism, everything, I felt like it was just coming to a place that something like this almost needed to happen. Like a reset. And I've been saying, I feel like the world needs a little reset, you know? So, the pug is staring me in the eyes.
Yeah, he's focused.
It's focused. So, you know, as devastating as it is, because I know there's so many people suffering because of it, I feel like when it's over that there is going to be a lot of beauty that comes from it.
I think so too. I mean, you and I both put out projects before you had to obsessively be on your phones, even when you were doing MySpace.
Yeah, it wasn't the phone.
It wasn't the phone. You still had to go to your computer. So you were obsessed with your computer, but once you left the computer, it wasn't associated with your BlackBerry. So you had your own sort of like, you had your communication device, which is not the same thing as also your marketing promo and everything else. And there's, you know, trying to get the word out and also trying to take in information at the same time seems impossible.
It is. I actually just went to this thing called Onsite in Nashville a couple months ago. I was like, man, I feel like I'm about to burn out. I just feel like I'm just going too hard. And, you know, and I was thinking about, I went from a one-bedroom apartment in Venice, just me and Victoria, do sessions, everything. It was still crazy because I was working all the time, to going to having, you know, houses, having six people on staff, you know, in all this insanity. And then on top of it, I'm being bombarded with information on my phone all day long. So at the end of the day, I literally, my bandwidth, I had no capacity for even when a friend's like, hey, can I send you a song, like a good friend, like, hey, can I send you a song I worked on? I'd freak out because I don't have, you know, our brains aren't actually wired. We're human beings, not human doers. We're not supposed to be doing so much all the time. Our brains can't take it all in, you know? So I think this time is, it's going to be good, I think, for people to, like you said, I'm reading a book or, you know, I've been out in the garden just chilling. It's like, it feels great.
As much as artists are expecting things for you, it's good you can finish things.
Yeah.
Started. But the idea that you really can't start a ton of new things from scratch right now, and we don't even know if any artists, and not that many artists, are going to be able to record vocals on new material.
Mm.
You know, I think. So I think it's going to be a really interesting time to, especially for the music industry, to slow down.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that's going to hurt the art of it all. You know?
You think it's going to hurt the art?
No, I think it's going to help the... I can't imagine it hurt it.
There's going to be better music coming out. There's going to be... People are going to take time. Like, even on the Stephen Poo stuff, I went in and I was like, I felt like there was not as much pressure. So I went in on, I was recording crazy instruments I've never recorded before and doing all this stuff that I haven't done before because I didn't have as much pressure on. I was like trying to make real art, you know? Not like a factory.
Right.
So
it's opening the door for my dog, as you can see. But
did you see what I did the other day online? I did an Instagram live and I started making a track. And I said, okay, so send me stems. Like this one kid sent a crazy bass line. So he sent it in. I started working with that. And then I made up an email and everyone started sending in stems. So I was just taking their stems and putting it in. I made a song with like 30 people. And it turned out really cool. Yeah. It was really cool. And like this
where can people hear that?
There's a link. I have a link. It's send Evigan stems. I think let me see what the SoundCloud is on. It's not finished yet. It's up, like I left it up for people to write over, you know? It was a, here, send.
Whose idea was it? I send Evigan stems?
Yeah, it's just send Evigan stems.
Oh, send Evigan stems.
Yeah, you hear the track, it's pretty cool. I just had the idea one morning. I woke up, I was like, that'd be sick to do that. And then it's like, what if, you know, put an album out like that and you give the proceeds to like, the people in the music industry who are hurting right now, you know, or something like that.
When you're as prolific as you are, do you get inspiration from other music or do you get inspiration from movies, books, art? Do you get it from being outside and gardening? Where do you get your inspiration from? I know some of this answer and I know we've discussed some of it, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. When I'm like really working a lot and I feel burnt out, I do get inspiration from like documentaries. I watched that Love and Mercy, the Beach Boys one. And I got like just so inspired by that one. I went on a rampage after that and made a ton of music that was like Pet Sounds sort of stuff. And some movies, definitely stillness, just like being still and letting ideas come, like walks, taking walks. It's crazy how just a walk can inspire so much.
There was, you know, in the 19th century when poets and authors, it was almost unanimously men at that point. And a professional writer was expected to take these long all-day walks. Not music writers, authors and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, they were notoriously walking around the towns.
Wow.
The writers are not people who sit at home writing.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Einstein,
they think a lot of it from walking.
Einstein thought of this, I think it's the theory of relativity on a walk on the beach. Yeah. So he would literally schedule in, it was a part of his job was to take walks on the beach.
Huh.
You know, like, I mean, yesterday came to Paul McCartney in a dream. So I feel like striving isn't always where the best stuff comes from. It's like letting it come to you, you know? Like,
how are your llamas?
They're alpacas.
How are your alpacas and why are they so offended when people call them llamas?
Llamas are more aggressive. Llamas spit on humans. Alpacas are smaller and they only spit on each other. And their fleece is way nicer than llamas.
That's really fine. Do you let them in the house?
Nah. We have a, next door, we have like a farm over there. So they just run through the garden and eat the grass and make great fertilizer and compost.
Are you growing a lot of your food?
Yeah, we just got chickens too. So we have 30 fruit trees. We have artichokes, peaches, everything. Like tons of lemongrass, like all sorts of stuff.
The Evigans doing what Evigans do.
It's Chumba Farms.
It's just Chumba Farms, man. Wait, so with Elephant Heart, not to go back to that real quick, but do you want to eventually go to radio and do and move it in that direction? I mean, it's not, it seems musically like you can do so much with that music, but it doesn't seem like you're trying to do what you just did with the art you're talking about. You know, you're not, it doesn't seem like you're aiming for.
No, we're aiming like we're more like in the festival world, like Lighting a Bottle, Electric Forest, the kind of transformational festival scene.
Froze again. Okay, so yeah, so we were talking about you doing the festival circuit.
Yeah, and Elephant Art, it's not like we're not aiming for radio, but if it happens, it happens. I know college radios picked it up and stuff like that, and some KCRW and that kind of stuff, but we're not like aiming for that, you know?
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens. It'd be great. But we really, we want Elephant Art to reach as many people as possible because, you know, like the intention, it's crazy, like making music with Victoria too, but it's been so different, is like, we'll like pray before we make the music and like we'll set an intention for what we want the song to do to people and how we want it to heal. And, you know, there's such a, and like bring people closer to like their creator. And so there's so much more, there's so much intention with it. So if it reaches masses, then it's beautiful. That's
how do you, I have this vision of how you guys are writing these songs, but you guys are not sitting at a guitar writing these songs. So is it like, you know, I know some of the samples are stuff you recorded while you've been, you know, around mm-hmm. indigenous people, wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
But how do you, is that just Victoria singing in a booth? Just being Victoria? Is that you saying, oh, I got this idea. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. We have that microphone you have right there. You have the SM7. You go in the studio, like for instance, our song "When You Say Go." She just went on the Mellotron, down, 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 down. I was like, oh, and I grab the mic, I start singing a melody, and then she's like, oh, let's add this, and it's so free and just happens, and we record as we go, and the song kind of forms itself, and then, but yeah, it's both our melodies and both our production. Sometimes she'll just come up with like a track in her little studio and bring it to me, and I'm like, oh, this is great, let's do this. And so pretty fun.
What's a good chain for an SM7? I have an SM7. I actually have nice mics, but I keep an SM7 right here because it's so easy. And I have a chain over here, and I kind of still don't know how to do a vocal chain. What's a good vocal chain?
I run the SM7 through a Chandler and a Distressor.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Oh, Distressor?
Yeah, and I just throw on... SM7s kind of sound good through anything, but then I just put the CLA vocals on there. It's quick.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Is that what's making albums?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, you get your mixers to whatever they do. They probably just take what you have and make it sound better.
So funny. So that's how it's done. Do you really think, like, you know, you were saying, I feel like we started at one point, went to one point, went to another, then are working our way back.
Yeah.
You were saying how right before, you know, you got into, you know, the Girls Like You phase of things, that you were questioning if what you have is really, you know, that maybe you're an album track guy now.
Yeah.
I mean, and this industry has a way of playing that game with you, you know.
Yeah, you're like, why didn't I get the call to do that album? Like my friends did, or why didn't I? Am I not cool enough? Or am I? See, you know, you have all this self doubt.
Is it FOMO? Do you look at people online and get FOMO?
No, I don't actually. It's more like a. No, it's not. It's not FOMO for me. It's more like a. Comparing myself to myself, I'm like, oh man, can I ever do that again? Or, oh, maybe I'm getting older now. Maybe they don't want me around. Or, but it's not like FOMO. It's a weird thing.
So we've been doing all these interviews with, you know, Hall of Famers. These guys who are 80 years old. You know, Paul Anka's of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And here the guy does, you know, Put Your Head on My Shoulders. When he's 15 or 16, you know, he does My Way. That's, you know, 15 years later does My Way. And it's like another 9 years later is the next song. You know, I know for this season we have Glenn Ballard and he has these like very strange periods of smash, smash, smash. It's just not happening for him. It's not happening for like 5 years. And then all of a sudden, Alanis Morissette and, you know, having Jagged Little Pill. You know, it's like the idea of what's so interesting is what happens in those periods where the hits aren't happening. Because, you know, the late Allie Willis, when we interviewed her, she was saying, you know, that's when all the hit songs are being written.
Yeah.
By the time you hear them, you're not writing hit songs anymore. And you're probably, you know, if you have even the luxury of a spurt of two or three hits in a row, then, you know, that's a really hard time to be creative. It's hard to be creative when you have hit after hit after hit.
It is, especially when, you know, everyone's like, hey, we want girls like you. Can you do that? And then, like, no, I can't redo that song. I didn't even think that song was gonna be a hit. I don't even know. It was like, it was the simplest. We wrote that song in 45 minutes. And every time I try to redo it, it sounds like crap. It sounds like a cheesy ass pop song. Like, so that was, it was some, you know, that happened with Chains a lot too. And I did Chains. It was like every time, every session, people are like, we want that Chains thing. It always happens. Every time you have a hit song, people want that again. You try to recreate and you can't. And then I always found myself in this weird slum because I'm just trying to are you frozen?
No.
Okay. You're just like,
I was just
So you find yourself in this slum because you're not, you know, I always say, don't try to inspire, just try to stay inspired, because every time you try to like, you're like striving, you're striving to do something. For me, I don't work that well. I just have to stay inspired and let the stuff come in. And add it, you know, that was like the last song on the Maroon 5 album that they cut. And I really did not, I don't know if I told you this. I was actually going to call because they had like three hits in a row and they're like, we're putting Girls Like You out next. And I was like, dude, I was almost going to call their team and be like, I don't know if it's a hit, dude. I feel like it's like too boring. And I feel like there's probably other song. I didn't do it. I didn't call him, luckily. And like the next day, Cash was like, yo, we got, you know, like all these actors in the video and Cardi B's jumping on. I was like, okay. And then this is crazy. You just never know with the stuff, you know?
So incredible. Well, it's good to get an update from you. And, you know, I'm excited to see the next phases of all this stuff, but I'm also a fan of Elephant Heart, so it's fun to catch up. I'm glad you sent me the album 2 days ago to check out, and
it's
available everywhere. So
called Seasons.
Yeah.
The artwork's cool. We found that when I was traveling through Peru. I literally, in this little store, I found this like photograph of this gem, and I reached out to the photographer and he let us license it for the album. So it's like such a cool, that's no Photoshop or anything. It's just like the picture with some cool lighting on it. So,
I mean, who else says I was in this, saw this store in Peru, and that, you know, it's just so damn on brand, man. I don't know how you like, it's nice when people are just themselves over and over and over again, whatever, you know what I mean? You know, and part of
you're the same way.
Yeah, but part of what makes you, you is that even though you're constantly reinventing yourself in the Jason Evigan way, do you know what I mean? So there's like a freshness every time. It's like, ah, I got this, I got a new thing coming. So whatever, you know, whatever.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Alpacas is everything, you know. It's a, that's
Peru inspired the alpacas. Peru inspired the alpacas.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did. Well, you're the alpaca king.
You know, I got my back to a blog. I'm trying to work, get off the ground, but it's not happening. You know?
Well, let's hang out when we are when we're not stuck in our homes.
Do you want to try to do a little Zoom songwriting session?
I haven't tried it yet, but I'm down. I would do it with someone I know. I know I can, like, you know, fall on my face in front of.
Yeah, we should definitely. I've done. I just did with Charlie and Cash, and it's fun. It's actually kind of good because it's a little like less pressure too.
All right, yeah. Let's give it a shot.
All right,
We'll start Friday.
I feel like I'm hanging out with you right now. Like, I don't feel like I'm in a computer.
Yeah, that's also true. I mean, the socializing is actually kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, and you end up being really focused because you can't be on your phone. You can't be distracted by somebody well, you can have somebody walking out of your space. But, you know, it's actually pretty enjoyable. I'll give it a shot.
Well, thanks for everything you're doing for the music world.
Yeah, man.
There's not a lot of, like, dedicated soldiers on the ground because we're all too floaty. we're like, I'll wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, like, I'm fighting for the music, you know, the people out there, and I write a message to Congress, and then, like, next hour, I'm just, like, in some land making music, and I forgot it. But you stay constant, so thank you.
We need all of it. All right, man, well, I'll see you back on Zoom at some point for a session.
All right, brother.
All right, homie. Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of And the Writer Is. If you want to hear music from this songwriter I just interviewed, be sure to check out our Spotify playlist or visit our website at andthewriteris.com. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe to us. You can also like us on Facebook and Twitter. And the Writer is produced by Joe London, edited by Miles Bergsma, and published by Big Deal Music. A special thanks to David Silverstein from Mega House Music and Michael White. Until next time, this is Ross Golan.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.